Hey everyone, I'm going to be starting a new mini-series called The Enemies of Man. And I want to talk about male nature. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about female nature, but it's important to talk about male nature as well. As it's written in The Art of War, if you know yourself and know your enemy, you'll win 100 battles. Now, let me clarify what I'm going to be talking about and what I'm not going to be talking about. I want to talk about male nature. Things that are instinctual or intrinsic to being a man. Things that we don't really have any control over, that we can't fully purge ourselves of. We can only be aware and take necessary steps to compensate for these instincts. I'm not going to be talking about things like chivalry. Men have to be trained from childhood to defer to women, to let women get away with bullshit, to not hit women back. You know, these are things that have to be beaten into boys' heads. These are not instincts. If a female lion attacks a male lion, you know, just some random female lion, that female lion's going to get her throat ripped out. There is no chivalry in the animal kingdom. These are not instincts. These are simply cultural norms that have to be beat into boys' heads in order to enforce gynocentrism. The other thing I'm not going to be talking about is male disposability, because this is simply part of nature. Nature designed men and women differently to serve different roles. Men are effectively designed to be disposable. This is why a single man can impregnate many women. It's expected that a lot of men are going to die because men are inherently disposable, and yet the species can live on through male disposability. The weak die, the strong reproduce, and humanity endures. And unless we change the dynamics of sexual reproduction, this is the way it's going to stay. What I want to talk about are the instincts that guide male behavior and lead to the current situation we find ourselves in. A lot of people mistakenly believe that gynocentric society is somehow indicative of women being these master manipulators or these cunning behind-the-scenes people that just are so smart and cunning. No, they're not. You give women way too much credit. You look at the end result and you just assume that women planned all this. Women didn't plan this. Women are benefiting from it, but they didn't plan it. They're not capable of planning it. Our gynocentric society is the result of men oppressing other men in order to pander to women for themselves. We are our own worst enemy. So, you know, even if you completely understand female nature, and I've talked about this myself, gynocentrism is enforced. Now, who enforces gynocentrism? Not the women. They have no capability to enforce their own will. Men enforce gynocentrism. They enforce it against other men. We men are our own jailers. Now why? Why would men design a gynocentric society which harms men? Why would men do this? It doesn't make any sense. Well, I'm going to answer that question by pointing to three things which are intrinsic to male nature. And the reason why I think this is a very important distinction is even if you take the red pill, even if you understand female nature, male nature, these things are always going to be a part of you. Of your instincts. All you can do is be aware of them and try to redirect them somehow so they aren't damaging your life, hopefully in some productive way, but at least in a neutral way. Because the way nature designed these instincts was to facilitate male disposability, for the good of the species, of course. The first one, and these aren't in any particular order, they're not like ranked from least important to most important, these are all important. These are the three aspects of male nature which serve to hamstring our development and advancement and have led directly to a gynocentric society. The first one is the dominance instinct. Now, the dominance instinct is like the equivalent of hypergamy in men. Whereas hypergamy drives women to seek out resources in men, dominance drives men to compete with other men for resources in order to achieve reproductive success themselves. So women have hypergamy, they seek out resources. Men have dominance, they acquire resources at the expense of other men. Because unlike women, men view other men as competition. And this is why we can't ever come together to address male issues. When a man sees another man suffering, he doesn't think, that's my brother, I need to help him. Unless he literally is his brother. But just some random man, men just don't have empathy for random men. They don't project themselves into that man's shoes and think, that could be me. Because men view other men as competition, because of the dominance instinct, we intrinsically take delight in the suffering of other men. We see men suffering, we're like, cool, that's one less person I have to compete with. Oh, Bob got fired? Cool, maybe I can get his job. no thought is given to Bob and what he's going through. No one gives a shit. Men don't give a shit, and women don't give a shit either, because as far as the women are concerned, due to their hypergamy, he's now undesirable. They don't give a shit about Bob either. No one gives a shit about Bob. This is why the suicide rate is so high among males. So we have a situation where, unlike women, men do not have an own group bias. It's good in a way because men can look at situations objectively. This is where the justice-based morality comes from, as opposed to the care-based morality of women, where women look at how it affects them or women or whatever. They affect group dynamics as opposed to objectively looking at the facts and making a just decision. Now, the bad thing is, when men are being disadvantaged by a situation, men don't really care as long as the men aren't them. It's the classic, it won't happen to me. And you see this all the time. You warn men about, you know, whatever. It doesn't even have to be female related. It could be anything. And then when the bad things happen, like, oh, I should have listened to him, but, you know, now it's too late. So what can we do about the dominance instinct? How can we curb this? How can we redirect the dominance instinct? Well, the first thing you have to do is recognize that everyone has a dominance instinct. It leads to almost everything that defines masculinity. The best way you can kind of deal with it is to redirect it into some productive fashion. Sports, something like that, something that doesn't harm men. Because you're always going to want to be dominant, even if you're not athletic. You play video games, like I play MOBAs and competitive multiplayer video games. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy being able to win and, you know, show off my skill. This is part of the dominance instinct. Men want to be great at something. They want to show that they're better than other men at something. And when men are simply inferior to other men, like they realize they suck at everything. They can't beat men. They have nothing to be proud of. They sink into really deep depression. This drive to dominate is so intrinsic to male nature that if a man can't have anything that he can be proud of, and you see this sometimes, you see these guys that they have nothing going on in life, but they have this one thing that they can be proud of and they just cling to it, whatever that thing is. This is a very common aspect of male nature. Men need something they can be proud of, that they can look at and be like, I'm better than these guys because X or Y or Z, or X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what X, Y, and Z are. The point is it allows men to feel that they're better or superior or have better athletic ability or better whatever ability, something that they can be proud of. But they can only measure that in regards to how they compete against other men. So if all men have X, this is simply a thing that all men have, all men do equally well, then there's nothing to be proud of. Even if that thing is really good, like, you know, let's say being a good father. You know, let's say most men are good fathers. Well, men aren't proud of being a good father. They don't really take any joy in it because it's expected of them, because it's normal. They have to do something great that most men can't do, because then that allows them to assert their dominance. They can be like, I'm better than all these guys because I can do this, and these other guys can't. I'm special because I did this, or whatever. You see where I'm going with this. This is the dominance instinct. We have to be aware of it, and we have to understand how it damages us. It prevents men from coming together for anything more than a common goal. You can get a group of men together for some sort of project, or maybe even a business. It's very difficult to get men to come together for anything long-term or just general brotherhood. There has to be something in it for everyone. And the entire time, there's all kinds of infighting. I mean, you see this throughout the manosphere. Like, how many groups of feminists do you think there are? I mean, yeah, there's like the sex positive and sex negative, and there's the intersectional. There's only a small handful of sub-feminist groups. Most feminists are very passive, and they're very unified. This is women's strength. Now think about the manosphere. Think about all the different acronyms that exist in the manosphere. You got the MRAs, you got the MGTOW, you got the TFLers, you got the PUAs, you got the IBMOR, you got all these acronyms in the manosphere. Why? Because everybody wants to have their little sandbox. Everybody wants to be in charge of their own little group. Everybody wants to assert their dominance. This is the dominance instinct. This is why we can't have nice things as men. As soon as we form a working coalition, like let's just imagine men were the majority of the voters instead of women. Let's say men were 55% of the population as opposed to 49%, and men controlled the politics. What would happen is men would just splinter off and form different groups. And just like what happened in the early 1900s, the group whose agenda aligns with women would simply join with women. This is why women were given the right to vote. The 19th century progressives in the US knew that women would be a natural constituency for their agenda. So the first thing they did was give women the right to vote, and then they quickly passed the rest of their agenda, all the different constitutional amendments that were passed in the early 1900s, including prohibition and the income tax. They knew what they were doing. So likewise, whatever political coalition that's pro-man would develop in this situation would quickly splinter. And one of them would go with the women, or they try to form something. It's all about the dominance. And I don't know if there's a solution for that. I mean, in my own life, I like to play competitive video games. It helps me get, you know, I guess, the dominance out in a productive, non-harmful way. Now, maybe sports is your thing. Maybe bodybuilding is your thing. You have to have something that you can be proud of, you know, puts you above men in some area. Maybe you're really good at science or whatever. Whatever makes you you, whatever you're proud of, you have to have your thing. Everyone's got their thing. You got to have your thing. Now, in the long term, in the grand scheme of things, in the overarching big picture, I don't know if there is a solution for dominance. I don't think men will ever be able to have that in-group bias the way women do. I just don't know. Just like I don't think it's possible for women to ever not be hypergamous, I don't think it's possible for men to ever not be dominant. It's simply in our nature. Now, we can be aware and we could try to redirect these, but ultimately, it's simply part of our nature. So those are my thoughts on the dominance instinct, and this concludes part one of this mini-series. Let me know what you think. In the next video, we'll talk about ego, which is the second thing which is preventing men from building the world that benefits them, but instead building this gynocentric bullshit which benefits women at the expense of men. So I hope to see you there. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.